T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, thank you, Dave. Joe Geruso joins us around New Orleans City Council member. There will be a meeting of the Public Works Committee today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Another broken water main, boil water advisory, and I don't mean to be flippant. Well, maybe a little bit. Joe, when I say, do you want to talk this time, or do you just want us to play the interview we did last time?
Well, look, that's the hard part, and we're getting emails and communications from people who are saying we're tired of the political runaround. What is the solution? And on the other hand, we have people who are saying, oh, well, it's 48 hours. We'll be without water. This is a normal that we've learned to live with.
But
so you have it on both ends of the spectrum.
I don't know how in any way you could call this political runaround, do you?
I don't think so. But I think people are tired of the fact that it's an old system. They know it's an old system. They've heard it's an old system. It's been validated that it's an old system. But then what are the fixes for that old system? And that's the piece that I think we kind of want to start really digging down into.
I don't mean to demean anybody, Joe, but how in the world can you live in this city unless you just moved in here and not realize it is an old system? The water main that broke yesterday was, what, 2 days ago, was 111 years old. Is that right?
That's right. It was over 110 years old.
And how many of those do we have in the city?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know of the 100 years old. I have heard that at least 50% of the water pipe is 80 years or older. You're right. Look, I think nobody is blaming Sewage and Water Board, this administration, for decades of neglect, for the fact that it's been chronically underfunded, or the fact that people may think the funds haven't been spent the right way. All of that is in the past. The question now is a forward-looking one, which is, where are we in terms of our infrastructure? How many pipes do we have that are 100 years old, 90 years old, 80 years old, 70 years old? One of the things that was done, actually, that helped this break not be quite as big, a Sewage and Water Board installed a valve in between one of the pipe segments. And I think if that hadn't been installed, this would have been an even bigger issue. So what are we doing as a short term to introduce more valves into those older pipes? Are there lining issues that we can use? And then as we're looking at our capital dollars, do we look backwards at age and the obsolescence of the materials? Do we say that we know, for example, this 48-inch pipe that's had two bursts on it, one near the Carrollton plant itself and now in Panola, is the prime subject and suspect for being replaced? And then how do you also go forward in terms of working your way through the system bit by bit?
But Hassan Ghorban said when the car was found in Lafitte Canal, right?
Yes.
That it cost whatever the number was, $10,000 to take it out, and that was $10,000 that comes out of the budget to do something else, right? So when it comes to the preemptive repairs like you're talking about, well, what happens then if two lines break that you didn't anticipate breaking because so many are old? What would you do then budget-wise?
Well, I think part of it is how do you have a budget that's built out for those issues? And there's two separate issues that we have to discuss. One is the drainage system is chronically underfunded relative to sewer and water. Sewer and water gets between $100 and $120 million a year, and the drainage system only gets about 56 or 57, so it gets half the amount of money. But then two, it seems that in addition to the preventative maintenance budget that has to be built into the system, that you got to start looking at bonding out what you know capital improvements are coming down the road. And then I think three, we know that there's other money that's available either between the FEMA funds that are coming to the city for infrastructure, and then also looking at the potential bond issuance on the ballot in November.
It seems to me, and you can answer this when we come back, Joe, it's almost like triaging a medical case or a surgeon's office where you'd like to do the elective procedures, but maybe the resources dictate you can, for the time being, you can only do the emergency procedures. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever gotten any kind of time estimate on this, but I don't know how you can live in Orleans Parish, say, with the exception of Algiers, and not realize that. Well, let's talk about that. What areas is it more likely to happen than others? Joe Geruso, our guest, New Orleans City Council member, our friend. He's always there when we need him, and there's a Public Works Committee meeting later on today. Back in a flash, WWL.
I mean, Tommy's sort of taken, though. Everybody has to know this.
No chance for showers really today. Well, not serious. A 40% chance for rain. Nothing heavy expected. Of course, what happened over the weekend was not water coming down and a threat from above. It was water coming up and a threat from below. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, joins us. Water main broke on Saturday, I guess it was, right, Joe? Around a two-lane game that time?
Yes, that's exactly right. I was getting ready to watch LSU when I got down there.
So in terms of specific areas, is there a map that people can go to if they're thinking about buying a house in Orleans Parish where it's, well, you know, the feeder lines there or are 100 years old over here? I don't know how far of a distance it would be over here. They're 40, so I'm going to go with the 40 over the 100-something.
I don't know if there's a map online. I do think Sewage and Water Board has mapping of that. And I would think my guess would be obviously the older parts of the city would tend to have the older infrastructure. So it shouldn't be a surprise that Uptown has a 48-inch pipe, which is sort of rare as being one of the older parts as opposed to New Orleans East, which is newer.
When it comes to the second boil water advisory and you know, I can understand as a business owner being steamed enough if I had to bring in bottled water, et cetera, to make ice. And I'm sure that there are some business owners that just say, you know what, we have a protocol in place because we know this is going to happen. But to have that happen twice, how could that happen? And do you think that's kind of fair to the citizens to drop it and then institute it again?
Well, I will say this. The businesses, particularly the restaurants in Uptown, CBD, Lower Garden District, French Quarter, absolutely have protocols for boil water advisories. And they know how to deal with it. I think one of the first times we had a significant one over the summer, they said, oh, don't worry about this. This is how we do it. We know what the drill is. And so they're prepared from the outset. I think what you're honing in on is the issue of the fact that there was not just a boil water advisory on Saturday. We thought we'd made everything clear on Sunday. And then as they're testing the valve, the water pressure dropped again below 20. Below 15 psi, and the new one came back on. And so I think look, even Ghassan Corbin expressed frustration with the fact that that's happened, that you're trying to do your best to get everything back up and running. And we live in a city where people know that from time to time there's going to be the boil water advisory, but obviously you want to minimize as much as possible having two within 48 hours.
Yeah, I see this text, not text, a quote from you saying they're not going to fix billions of dollars overnight, but we need to start seeing what the short-term plan looks like and how do you start going bit by bit to get this addressed. Has Ghassan Corbin indicated any priorities or how to go about doing this?
Well, that's what we keep on talking about. You said before the break it's like a triage system, and I agree with you, and that's the word I consistently use. It's, if you want to say it's like a patient who has diabetes, high blood pressure, and overweight, and then you have eyesight problems and other things that are going on, we know that you're not going to be able to wave the magic wand or do all the work overnight. But we know there needs to be a master plan. We know that that's going to take some time to do. At the same time, though, I think people want to know that with this aging infrastructure, there is a plan in the works, and then what it looks like, particularly for the oldest pieces in the system and how you're going to start addressing those.
Would that be addressed by what you were saying earlier in terms of, I guess, sleeves? What did you talk about, a sleeve earlier?
Well,
lining, I think, is what you said.
lining. So there's two different pieces. One is if there are more valves that are installed along the way, it gives Sewage and Water Board the ability to shut off water within the piping system. And it's just essentially a way to block water. And this one was less significant than the one that was near Jefferson Avenue because they had inserted some valves, newer valves, in the process. The other thing that you can do is insert liner inside of the older pipe. Obviously, that's not a cure-all for pipe that's 110 or 90 years old, but it will extend the shelf life of the pipe. It's cheaper, from what I understand, than new pipe. And so I think we can't keep on doing fixes that are essentially wrapping duct tape around something to keep it working, but at the same time, we need to find ways to increase the livelihood of the equipment while at the same time looking for a plan to start phasing out this equipment that's older than World War One.
There have been a lot of advisories. Have you ever heard, or is there any report of anyone actually getting sick as a result of these?
I haven't seen anybody in Orleans Parish get sick, and unfortunately, I think because no one's gotten sick, people tend to blow off the boil water advisories, and we try and tell people to be as safe as possible. I think also I was reminded yesterday in the field by one of Sewage and Water Board's employees that the standard actually went down. The boil water advisory used to be if the water pressure fell below 20 PSI, and now it's 15. So they're taking every step they can to be careful. I think yesterday the pressure literally fell for seconds before they noticed the problem and got it back online. But they felt like if that number dips below 15, they need to inform the public and make sure they're better safe than sorry.
And the pressure generated by how? These towers have nothing to do with that, or they do?
Well, the towers are supposed to provide pressure in case of water loss elsewhere, but I think in this instance, this is getting technical now, that apparently they shut off what's called a transformer pipe that actually provides a big swath of water to the uptown area. And in this instance, the way that they turned the pipe created a pressure loss in that area, and they did it a little too quickly, and then they restored pressure almost immediately. And my question along the way, and Sewage and Water Board had already anticipated this, is, well, if you are in the boil water advisory period yesterday, please test everything with the transformer pipe so when you're ready to turn it back online fully, we don't have boil water advisory number 3 unnecessarily, and they were on top of that.
You think part of the answer could be, as far as the public understanding what's going on? I know generally you don't like to go deep in the weeds on this, but perhaps have some kind of engineer with a video that's available explaining exactly what happened and why?
Yeah, look, I think you want to have every single visual possible. They will be at Public Works today with some video. But you're going to hear from Sewage and Water Board. It's really difficult when you have pipe that's that old. And we were on Newell yesterday, and he was asking about the water table and how pipe shifts. And look, we live in a city where it rains and then it gets dry, and we're not talking about pipe that is only 20 or 30 years old. The pipe is older than you and me put together. So it's sort of amazing to a certain degree that it's been holding up as well as it is. And I think the focus for all of us is recognizing that it's old, that recognizing it's had this neglect that precedes so many of us, but now being forward-looking and solution-oriented into what we can do to start fixing it and restoring confidence.
I guess I was thinking about in terms of somebody coming out for a plumbing issue at your house and just saying, well, it's going to be $800 to fix it. And you say, well, wait, hang on a second. What are we doing here? What are we doing for $800, where it might be a little more palatable for the public if they understood exactly what it was and how this is really beyond anybody's control other than, I guess, the physics of the ground, the water table lowering, the pipes subside, and then cracks happen and things break, also due to the age.
Yeah, I also think sometimes the simplest answer is the easiest one.
Yeah.
And if for people who've looked on social media or media posts, the size of the burst of this 40-inch pipe says everything you need to know. And it's an iron pipe, too. So it's not clay. It's not a softer material. It is strong. It is physically strong. But I think we all remember from Hurricane Katrina the powerful lesson of water and what it can do when exerted under pressure. And so the basic for me is the older the pipe is, the more that it needs to be examined and the more the plan we need to have to look at all of that and start just working our way backwards.
You know, one thing I hear all the time is that, you know, if the pipes are 100 years old, then why wasn't this looked at earlier? And I guess you could go back and you know, I don't like the phrase point fingers, because sometimes that is a way of cleaning up who's responsible for it, and you could do that. But, I mean, the bottom line is it is what it is, and you have to deal with current circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, look, the best thing I can say about that is the night after the election, we drove home, and one of our family friends was driving us, and we hit a pothole, and he said, "Joe, you own that now." and the bottom, and that's what I tell the administration and Sewage and Water Board all the time, is we did not create almost all of these problems. We inherited them. And so, on the one hand, the public, I think, understands the fact that there are years and decades in the making, particularly with our infrastructure. But on the other hand, they're looking for leadership to start pointing towards a path of how do you address them. I think the biggest issue is not blaming anybody, but it's fixing it and finding solutions to do that.
Very quickly, does Public Works have anything to do with the construction side of the Hard Rock Hotel?
That's not my understanding. I know they're on site to help provide help, but I don't think they're a part of that.
Is there any way, as far as you know, that this, I don't know, are they still calling it a rescue effort or a recovery effort, that there's any way anything could proceed until they find whomever it is?
No, my understanding is, and again, it's pretty limited at this point, that all efforts are geared towards finding who's left in the building before anything else can happen.
Yeah, I don't know how you could. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.